Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to African Aramean Scriptures. Tonight we'll be covering the term Messiah, or more accurately, Mashiach. Last week we looked at the term for meditation, or the terms, and before that we looked at the concept of prayer. And this time we're discussing the concept of the anointed one. And what does that mean? We hear a lot of talk about anointed in the Christian circles, or even in Hebrew roots circles. But I think few people really understand what the term means and how it applies to the deity, and how it applies to men. And what we're going to do, we're going to do a comparison and contrast in how the term Messiah is to be used in these scenarios. Okay. Now let us begin. The term Messiah comes from a parent root, Mem Mech. How you pronounce it? This is a long way from English, folks. And Mech, the root for the term Mashiach, Shech. And that root has the meaning of fat. That's right, fat. Because we're going to learn about the actual liquid that is applied to a prophet, priest, judge, king, that makes one anointed. Now, the parent root Memchet, the pictograph of the first character Mem, is a picture of water or other liquid. And the Chet is the symbol, pictogram, of a fence or some type of barrier that separates the liquid represented by the Mem from other things. So when you combine these two pictograms in the sequence from right to left, you can get the idea. The liquid separated, or the liquid that is protected, barred. And since it's usually translated as fat, usually oils, because they describe this as a most primitive or the basic idea of the term. The liquid is like bone marrow. Because bone marrow is a buttery liquid, it's a very creamy liquid inside the bone. And we know what that is, white blood cells that comprise your lymphatic system. It's inside the bones, and it is used as a choice food. That's right. The ancient Bedouin people coming out of the Chaldean area, and even all over the North Africa, they ate bone marrow and they applied it to their food, and they broke open the bone. I mean, I knew relatives who used to break open bones for marrow, and I'm sure you all have seen people do that as well. So a more simplified definition is the fat of the marrow, fat of the bone. And so that root has many many derivatives, and many include the one of which includes just the bone marrow itself. Another includes the process of breaking the bone in order to retrieve the marrow. And that's just the parent root. Now we get to the term that actually has been the derivative people use to mean liquid that which is smeared up on distinguished persons in the ancient communities. Now the verb form here is mashach. It mashiach. We had a yod between the shin and the it. Now, mashach is described here as here in this lexicon, ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible. It introduces us to this concept. Form is here. And one of the simple translation is just smear. Concrete definition here means just ointment. Ointments were made from oils and smeared on injuries for healing. Oil was also smeared on the heads of individuals who are being given the office of prophet, priest, or king as a sign of authority. Okay? So, several people were considered anointed by the ritual. Aaron and his brothers, when they were anointed for the priest, they were anointed with blood on the forehead. A towel marked on their forehead, and blood was applied to their right ear, right big toe. They were not anointed with the oil that I, from what I my recollection, but they were anointed with blood. But perhaps they were anointed with oil at some investiture. The second chapter of Vayikra or Leviticus. One section you can see here, we will deal with the Mashiach as a divine. Now that's here in 1 Samuel chapter 12. If you're in your Septuagint, you would go to 1 Kings. This is 1 Kings in some biblical tradition. And in the third verse, have here, air, their fetters and calves at the. This is a song when this is a song. Second song, where it is one second song. Here we go, we had the right one now. Behold, I am bare before Yahweh and before his Messiah or his anointed. Now, here, second in 1 Samuel, Shema'al, Samuel is making an oath to his, he's testifying to his fidelity to his office as judge, people, chief judge, high judge, if you will. And he is saying before the face of Yahweh, that is the actual name of Lord, and before his anointed. Some people may want to argue, this is Samuel, King Saul, because King Saul was just anointed king. So, Shamael would not be making a testifying of his fidelity before the newly anointed young man, Shaul. Because Shaul doesn't know all things, and Shaul cannot testify against him if he is doing what he's not supposed to be doing. The only kind of anointed one who could stand in judgment and be able to bear testimony to Shema'al's actual behavior is the Mashiach, son of Yahweh, or Yahweh, as some people pronounce. You saw how the anointed or the Mashiach was used in that context as very closely connected to Yahweh. Well, second in Psalms chapter 2, verse 2, have take the king of the earth and the rulers. Take together a council together against in opposition Yahweh and against his anointed. There you go. You have the same type of usage here with as you had in Aleph Shema'ol Samuel. By looking at this, we can know the earthly office of a Messiah whom we are commanded to refrain from assaulting is a office in the likeness of the Messiah that is in heaven, that is also Yahweh. So a man like Aaron, the priest, King David, the judges, all of these persons perform the duties that are in the basically manifestations of the heavenly Mashiach. That is the office that Yahushua performed. He ascended to the earth, incarnated into Miriam, and brought forth, as my wife illustrated today on the Dabar Teshuva show, program, how the Mashiach was dwelt within humanity and dwelt among us. And in the seventh millennium, judge us just like the judges wear the oil. It's in that same chapter 12 of Shema'al, Samuel said, announced that he has anointed his sons as judges. So the Messiah is to return to judge the earth. That is one of the offices of Mashiach. Mashiach is a priest, Kohen. He is a king, Hamalek. He is a prophet, Hanavi. As in Deuteronomy 18:18, this is the prophet likened to Moshe. He's a prophet. All the earthly offices you see being represented by men amongst the sons of Yisrael or Israel, Messiah from heaven, who made man, will judge men and the actions of nations. So this term means to is literally means fatty liquid. That's interesting. The fatty liquid that they used was an olive oil. Now, interesting that the definitions that we described earlier talked about the fat that was inside the bone or the marrow. Well, even though olive oil it comes from a fruit, olive, but we know all the nutrients travel through the tree, through the fruit. and interesting, the word for bone and for tree have the same root. And that root, the parent root, comes from the word for tree, oat. That is iron, dare safet. And the word for bone is otzem. That's iron, zare, mem safet. So both terms, that the fey liquid comes from the source, a source that resembles the bone. I can go on about bone. Exodus chapter 24, the elders of Yisrael say they saw the Elohim Israel, Yisrael, it's all the gods of Israel, as a bone of heaven. And that's an idiom. What does a bone mean? Well, we just talked about the bone being the source of fat, and fat is connected to the concept of life, which we don't have time to do. We'll probably do that in the following meeting. We may explore this Mashiach concept more. But the bone is the framework of the life form, skeletal system. So basically, the elders of Yisrael said that they saw the deity as a bone, meaning the actual framework of the heaven, and all of that, the framework, they said what was Yahweh Elohim, was Yahweh God. That is what. That's the only words they could. It's a very peculiar idiom to describe their encounter, them having gazed upon the deities, the Yisrael. That was the best they could do. A sublime yet very highly esoteric idiom, saying we saw him as the bone of heaven, that is the skeletal, the actual framework of the sky. And we're still trying to discover and understand what that means, and how should we comprehend that, if we are to comprehend it at all. I think we should, and that's why they articulated the best language they know how. So it is our mission to understand what these ancient people were communicating to us. If we fail in doing so, it's because we have not made it important enough to hold fast and to conform our minds to the image of the Most High, which should be our number one objective, to understand the things of God by the renewing of our mind. Now, there's an interesting book I would recommend any serious student of Biblical Hebrew to read, and it's entitled The Great Mystery, or How Can Three Be One? In this book, they discuss many rabbinic grammatical problems, how they intentionally try to, let's say, either reveal and in some cases conceal the complex oneness of Yahweh Elohim, and how they sometimes conceal Mashiach. But in their attempt to conceal it, they have revealed it. And I would recommend to any person who, before attempting to study this text, have completed at minimum a basic introductory course of Biblical Hebrew, they have to be able to read without vowel points, because there is so much analysis in this text there's no way you'll be able to comprehend this without having prepared yourself with linguistic knowledge, because he provides translation in this book. The sad part is that you won't be able to verify it or have any appreciation for the work being, let's say, revealed before you. Any serious student of the scriptures of the Hebrews must embark upon a study of Aramaic, Hebrew, and Canaanite. I would not tell someone to go study Hinduism without learning Sanskrit and the Devanagari script. Now, you can study the text. The text is only not even 100 pages, but it's the most dense work on the Messiah, on the complex unity of the Godhead. You would ever find, I don't think you would find one. Even the Messiah text by Raphael Patai. Matter of fact, that one's pretty, that's pretty comprehensive. He has every text, every verse that describes by allusion or directly on the Messiah. In the Bible, in the Talmud, in the Zohar, in the Targum. Matter of fact, that's a good one. I think you should study Messiah text as well. I will post both of those books in the African Aramean Scriptures group. I'll put them in the pictures section under Messiah. And then I have these books' covers listed as texts for further reading and understanding. You have to remind you that there's a lot of rabbinic citations in here, so the point is, you can look at that to see how they understand it, but it's just all mixed in with analysis of Hebrew text. And you'll have a strong handle on it. Now, the Messiah concept as a man is used most commonly in the Hebrew Bible or the writings of the Hebrews. You will see more references to the Messiah, the Mashiach, as a man, like the high priest, a number of the priests, judges, kings, used more times. But there are very peculiar incidences, and you should be able to tell by the context Messiah's used in relationship to Yahweh, like we just demonstrated here in Psalm chapter 2, verse 2. And in 1 Samuel 12, verse 3, okay, the Messiah is always going to have divine properties, meaning that he's going to come from the sky, he's going to be riding a cloud, he's going to be doing something, he's going to be used to testify, like in heaven be my witness, or Yahweh be my witness, and his Messiah my witness. All of those are euphemisms for the deity when used in that context. No earthly man is recorded to be a witness testimony when a person is making an oath to validate the credibility of his statement. That is always 100%. Manifestation of deity being referred to. And here in chapter 2 of the Psalm chapter 2, even though it's not an old situation, talking about how the kings of the earth, which in our day, have together to figure out how they're going to outwit Hawahe and his Mashiach. And that's their objective. And in my estimation, this is not talking about an earthly man. I think they're talking about the Mashiach that is, which you will see in when you pick out the Messiah text by Raphael Pate, is also depicted in certain passages as riding on clouds, showing the other divine power. So you would be able to make these distinctions as you get deeper into your studies of the Hebrew scriptures. I'll remind you the books. If you need a Hebrew lexicon, book The Great Mystery, How Can Three Be One by Bob Zvi Nasi in the late 18th century, still in print and in high circulation. The other book, The Messiah Text by Raphael Pate, the other one. And another book was Joseph Bar Matthias's Antiquities of the Yehudim. Now, his text covers all the histories of the Yehudim, or that is, the Jews in an anglicized form. But he does not cover the Messiah. I think he describes the Messiah as Yeshua in the book The Wars of the Jews. But he does not go into it as the Messiah as a concept in this text. So while I do recommend this book very highly, Yeshua Bar Matthias, Complete Works, it will be of no assistance to you on the subject of the Messiah. And there's another author that has a great work on it. His name is Alfred Edersheim. He has a book called I think it's called Jesus and got the name of it. I have his other book in front of me, The Temple and Its Ministries and Services. But I don't have the other book. So I'm just recommending the author's name. His name is Alfred Edersheim, and he lived at the turn of the 19th century. And this particular volume was published in, doesn't say here, they have it in 1973, but I know it's older than 73. Book is really old. He's a contemporary of Christian Ginsburg. I'm wrong. This guy wrote, he finished in the 19th century, so he lived from 1825 to 1889. But this book, it is 19th century text. Well, everyone, I look forward to talking to you for next week, sharing you a new concept. Next week is going to be a surprise new Hebrew concept using the pictographic name of the Hebrew, Aramaic, Canaanite letters, characters, symbols, in order to grasp the original concepts of the words, and so you can grasp the cosmology, the theology, and the philosophy of the ancient Hebrews. All right, Shalom and Shavua Tov. Again.